Okay, we'll go back into some more on who shot John Paul II. Along with that article in the Monterey Herald coming from Europe that we better look into the terror on the right, this author said, in quotes, there have been many warnings from police and political authorities in Europe of the danger likely to arise from oversimplification of where the terror is coming from. He said the investigation of international terrorism is only in its early stages. The foreign correspondents looking into the matter can only accumulate facts. Conclusions are premature. Terrorism can both be political and economic. And anybody who lived through Nazi Germany knows that terrorism from the Nazis, from the far right, from the SAVAK, from the DINA in Chile is as dangerous or more fierce than anything that is going on in the prison camps in the Soviet Union. I'm not a communist and I'm not pro-Soviet, but if we stop looking at them, as I said before, and look at us and where are our people coming from, all those assassins or that I mentioned or would-be assassins that took pot shots were all organized from the right, and that can be documented over and over again in books and charts of the sources of where their money is coming from. Now, there's a woman out pushing a book on all the talk shows and radio shows. Her name is Claire Sterling. And she got a book out called The Terror Network. And the purpose is to support and drum up the House Internal Committee looking for the terrorists on the left. Well, she hit 11 this time. She's in the Bay Area at the time the Pope was shot. And within various interviews and people asked her, what about the CIA assassination teams and so forth? She admitted, yes, I know they exist, but my book is on the left, pushing more about this terror from the left in Moscow and not from the right. And she's fallen into the same pitfall that this journalist is talking about at the time. And they asked her, there's an article in the Los Angeles Times this week, who do you think shot John Paul II? And her answer was the assailant was probably, see, she doesn't know, probably driven by fundamentalist Muslim motives rather than political reasons. A small fundamentalist sect, a fanatic zealot, religious, now political reasons, with a visceral hatred of Christianity, and who blames Christianity for all the ills of the world and for the intrusion into the Muslim world. Now, she doesn't even make sense. What would this sect, this zealot sect, accomplish to shoot one pope? Because in 3 hours or 24 hours, they'd have another one elected, and he'd probably be meaner and angrier than this one. So if one tiny sect is fighting the Vatican Empire, lots of luck. It doesn't even make sense, and she can't prove it. And the pope, furthermore, is sympathetic to the PLO, the Palestinians. He's gotten along very well with the Middle Eastern countries, the Muslims. The Vatican recognizes 100 countries and has never recognized the State of Israel. So I doubt that this group, and I'll go into the religious motives, but I doubt, and it's impossible, that one tiny fundamentalist sect would accomplish anything at all. Why would they get a guy out of a Turkish jail in November of 79 and let him travel and collect him and protect him all over the continent of Europe and Southeast Asia and the Middle East, rather, just for the sake of an individual sect? They wouldn't accomplish anything anyway. One example of a more political motive than that kind of stuff that she throws out as an expert on terrorism is an item that was in the UPI story, a copy sent to me from the Santa Barbara Press, April the 30th, 1981. There was a military junta in Spain, and they tried to take over. This, again, if you make the comparison in Turkey, there is an extreme right group, just as, say, the King in Spain or Reagan in the United States, and a counterpart in Turkey, but a farther right, a Bush-Haig group, wants to take over the White House in this country. A farther right group tried a coup that Aja was involved in, his supporters and political supporters were involved in Turkey. And in Spain, just last month, there was an attempt to overthrow the King and Queen of Spain, and there was an item in the newspaper, Spanish press reports that the Vatican and United States were contacted before the coup tried. The Spanish papers had information that the military conspirators, before their attempt to overthrow the government, were in touch with the United States and the Vatican. And it was an internal matter. According to Haig, he turned his back away on it, and that's why he had to run to Spain and patch up the pieces, because he was going to let the coup come in power, which is consistent with the Haig that would follow behind if Reagan's out of the way. But evidently the Vatican was not in favor of this coup and was sitting on it, and it did not please them. Now, this report of this coup was April the 30th, 1981, in the Santa Barbara papers, but at that time, Aja was in Mallorca, Spain. He had $500 to take a two-week vacation into Spain just day after the coup failed, and 4 days before he shot the Pope, he arrived in Rome from Spain with lots of money, Swiss money, Italian money, and a $500 trip to Spain. So did he meet those people in Spain that were thwarted because the Vatican didn't give them the go-ahead for the military junta? Was the Pope almost killed or will die of complications or knocked out because he didn't go along with that? And this Aja works with that element that wants that extreme right wing in every country. That's just one example of a political link. There was a picture of Haig. I call him General Haig all the time. I don't like to call him Secretary of State. He wants to get those fangs out to the military branches, and he was with the Pope April the 3rd, 1981. The Pope sent a message out, which I had an article of about a month ago. There's some personal message delivered by hand, because he said, "My lines are tapped, I can't talk on the telephone, and I'm bugged." He realizes, like the others, that he's a captive in the White House. They've been bugged since World War II. The OSS and CIA have kept a tight lid on everything that goes in and out of the Vatican. But there was General Haig at the Vatican April the 3rd, May the 3rd, one day before Aja arrived in Rome. Haig was with the Pope. And very often when these dignitaries arrive, something happens following, and it seems maybe the dignitaries don't go with the plan. I remember when Henry Kissinger went to Saudi Arabia to see King Faisal and wanted to raise the oil prices. The Shah of Iran wanted to raise the oil prices, and Faisal didn't want to. Kissinger visited him exactly like Haig visiting the Pope here. And then a couple of days later, King Faisal, I think it was 24 hours later, was dead. A nephew was charged and was decapitated. No trial of any kind. It followed Kissinger's visit to Faisal, and as soon as Faisal was dead, the oil prices went up, and the Shah of Iran had his way, and the profits went into Chase Manhattan Bank. Well, the selling of the Pope and the idea, the image that they don't get into political affairs, is a vision that you have to have erased from your mind. The Vatican is, has been, and always was political. Now, there was a first in terms of political assassinations that I've never seen in the American news media, but somehow or other, they seem just a little more intelligent over in Europe, or they're going to be forced. The Times are forcing them to ask questions they never asked, so that the Los Angeles Times, an article by Lewis Fleming, May the 15th, was there a conspiracy to kill the Pope? Where is the money that put up this activity of Aja? How did he have protection and accomplices? He had them beyond debate, it is certain. And they're looking into his travels, and they, as I say, arrested the police in Turkey, one of them, for giving him a false passport. Well, that problem isn't solved, because he had three aliases, and that was only one of them. But the European press is asking questions more than we ever had in the United States, and I never understood why the newspaper in America couldn't ask these questions. In Rome, they're saying, did he have connections with international terrorist group, and they're not afraid of the right or left? What was the source of his money? Why did he make a quick trip to Palermo, Sicily in December? Why the two-week vacation from Milan to Mallorca, Spain, 4 days before the Pope was shot? Those are some of the questions they're asking. Who trained him to shoot was in the Italian press. Who helped him escape from Turkey? Who paid for his wandering throughout Europe? They want to know who paid for wandering. We have the wandering as the motive. They're wanderers, Saran and John Hinckley, the loner, the wanderer. They just Arthur Brammer, who shot at George Wallace. We think that wandering is a cause or a sickness. In Europe, they think that somebody paid for the wandering, and I don't know how they get so smart and why we're so dumb. But eventually, we have to start asking some hard questions, and these have never been asked in this country. We don't ask if it's a conspiracy. We don't want to know who put up the money, where they traveled. I asked those questions, would you believe it, 17 years ago, before the Warren Report was published, before the government printing office got out the commission hearings on who killed John Kennedy, the Warren Commission hearings that I ordered. I asked, where did Lee Harvey Oswald go from the Marines to Le Havre, France? He went home to see his mother on a quick discharge when he wasn't supposed to be out of the Marines, and goes to New Orleans and go to Le Havre, France, and Finland, and into Moscow and Minsk. And he wants to come home. He writes and says, give me the money. I'm ready to come home, and brings a Russian wife. And he's met at the harbor by the International Rescue Committee, the anti-communist leagues, the CIA organizations, and the CIA brings his Russian wife, Marina Oswald, through the Greek Orthodox Church into Fort Worth and then Dallas, and then he's in New Orleans and Miami and Mexico and back to Dallas, and ends up right at the Texas School Book Depository where John Kennedy's car is going to pass. And a rifle that he allegedly held has no fingerprints, and there's no account for the trips or who he saw or where he went. Now, the Dallas police had to solve that by about 8 or 10 hours. And district attorney Wade could say, we have him. That's the lone assassin. Why can't we ask these questions? There are researchers in this country, and there are 215-20 books critical of the Warren Commission hearings. But why are there so few of us? Why do we accept the stories as they come off the wire services so easily? Isn't it more important to know the real truth? Now, when this assailant was arrested, he was very quick to say several things that were contradictory. As I say, the first thing he asked is the Pope alive? And then he also gave one press interview, which is interesting, and he says, the reason I killed the Pope is because, well, the Pope is alive, and he's referring to him as having killed him. Now, he knows the difference, and I thought that was interesting, a direct quotation from the newspaper, The Confession, where he said, I killed alone. This was a day after the assailant had shot at the Pope, and he had first inquired, is he alive? They said he's alive, and he was still alive. He gave the press interview, and he said, I killed alone, knowing the man is alive. So there's something funny about his state of mind, or whether he is under mind control or has been taught to kill the Pope, and he keeps saying, I killed the Pope. He says, I'm neither a fascist nor a gauchist nor an anarchist. I killed alone. I am not the member of any illegal organization. Now, that's a matter of interpretation. In Turkey, he may think that he's a member of a legal organization and that the United States government and Alexander Haig and NATO have usurped the Turkish political system, and that they are the legitimate organization of the Turkish government, that were replaced by the American profit motive of dividing the Muslim community, which he says they are trying to do. And then, of course, the United States and the international assassination teams always try to make it very easy by leaving a diary. Lee Harvey Oswald, Sirhan Sirhan, James Earl Ray, John Hinckley. Now they leave letters at the hotel room. So he leaves a draft in his pocket when Aja is arrested. But again, it's a contradictory draft. He said, I have killed the Pope again so that the world knows of the victims of imperialism. I am a pro-Palestinian communist comrade, a follower of George Habash. Well, that is filled with contradictions that I will go into in the next couple of weeks to come. You can't be a communist comrade and work for George Habash. Habash has tentacles, again, to Colonial Dignidad, to DeKalb County in Atlanta, Georgia, to the Alpha 66, the teams of assassination groups that go all over the world, and they're not communist by a long shot. And being a pro-Palestinian doesn't make sense because he's not a comrade, and once he said he was a Marxist, because, as I said before, the Pope recognizes the PLO. He thinks that they should be a legitimate country and organization. There's no reason to shoot the Pope because of the Palestinian reason, because he already recognizes the PLO and is doing everything in their power. So when he's arrested, there's always the deniability that agents and carefully trained agents have of linking the communists. I'm a Marxist from Chile working with the junta there. There's no way it will work. Now, if you don't want to admit a conspiracy, the Rome police will cover up with a tiny little bit of a local accomplice. They're not yet ready to bite the bullet for the big conspiracy. There's one thing that you have to understand, and that is that the Rome police are no different than the Los Angeles Police Department or the New York Police Department or the San Francisco or Atlanta, Georgia, or any other police department. This Pope is a Polish Pope. He's an outsider, for one thing, and he may be making decisions they don't appreciate for another thing. And the state of minds of most of the police officials that have control of investigating these affairs are with that far, far right as against the right. The put them back in the torture rack of the Middle Ages right as against, the Turkish government. Amnesty International said you keep people in a chair 5 days to interrogate them, plus a lot of other things. And they answered back last week, 5 days in a chair is not unusual. Of course, with beatings and clobbers on the head and twisted bones and whatever they're doing, NATO's having trouble recognizing Turkey as it is. And there's something more right than that, that no, NATO or the United Nations or hardly anybody could stomach. So there is a difference that you have to make between the conservative right and the far, far right. Reagan defined it two nights before he was shot, the gridiron and dinner, when he said the right wing doesn't know what the far right is doing. Well, he found out 2 days later in front of the Hinckley bullet that hit him at that time. So the question about why trust the Italian police force this week, New York Times, it was May 15th, the Rome police said that Aja had no accomplices in St. Peter's Square and none in all probability elsewhere in Rome or Italy. Now, why in the world would they say that? Today, on the 17th of May, they were talking about discrepancies in the wound locations. They're trying to fit the amount of wounds into their conclusions about that one man, as happened in all the other conspiracies. Today they said the Pope may have been hit by two bullets instead of three. I don't see how 4 days later they can't figure out how many holes was in that body. I mean, forget it's a Pope. How can they not figure out how many bullet holes got into him? Or if even in Reagan's body, if a bullet comes from where Hinckley stood, how can it be ricocheted from a car, which is a totally different angle? Another account in the newspaper last week is that this is from the Associated Press, the day after he was shot. Other suspects were allowed to get away, but they limited to one. Two people were arrested. A third was sought, but the police later said that only one gunman was involved. If two people were arrested and a third was involved, remember the Dealey Plaza photographs of three suspects taken off Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas, and then allowed to leave. This has happened in every single one of these major assassination attempts, or to silence these people. There is a backup team. There's no single crazy fluke just unloading his pistol and hoping he hits the guy that well. They're well-trained. They have a backup team. They can go simultaneously. In fact, one woman that was hit by the bullet that was in the line of fire was waving an American flag, and she had interesting background we could go into later. And the necessity for the police to solve this in 24 hours does go on in Italy. And while they said he had no accomplices in St. Peter's and none in all probability in Rome or Italy, they had absolutely no reason to say that. They've issued warrants for possible assailants. They don't know where to look for them. The reason they don't look for them is that they can't ask the right questions. But eventually, as I said before, they're going to have to do something more than send warrants for unknown persons. If it was a single terrorist, It would be easy, they announced in Italy. The Rome prosecutor says if it was a single one, that would be easy. Of course it would be easy. He said, I don't think this will be a quick trial. This will be a long investigation. Well, you haven't seen Mark David Chapman tried for shooting John Lennon. You haven't seen John Hinckley's face. They said that trial won't begin till the end of the year, until they put some hand-picked judges, and they may use a mental defense and he won't go to prison at all. They issued warrants for unknown persons. In Italy, said they're not convinced it was an international conspiracy. Well, Ajah, as I say, one of the first words he said, a code word, was George Habash. He said Chile, which have links to the Chilean junta with their assassination teams that go all over the world. He lived in West Germany. He had a German wife. They tried to extradite him. Germans protected him, wouldn't send him back to Turkey. Visits to Spain, three times in Rome, down in Palermo and Sicily and in Milan. How can this not, when you take the Chilean German and with their links also to all the major countries, Zurich, Switzerland, and London, this ball of wax, how can it not be an international conspiracy? There came a time in Watergate when John Ehrlichman said, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. And there's going to come a time after 17 years of political assassinations where you're going to see the pieces fall into place, and it will look simple to you then because you will have heard various researchers, Sherman Skolnick or myself or other people who've done work writing newspaper articles talking about these assassins and where they come from. Later, it'll fall into place and you'll say, oh, yes, I've heard that before. But in admitting the mobility of these assassins, where they meet, where they bank, where they get their aliases, their passports, a lot of work has to go back to point one, the political assassination of John Kennedy. He lost the election to Richard Nixon, who was a mob figure. And in the next few weeks, I'll go into the mob connections of Nixon and Reagan and Sinatra and the organized crime directly to the Vatican as motives for the necessity to shoot John Paul at this time. But right now, I'll go into various points that built up to this. These people have mobility and finances. Pierre Salinger was on ABC News saying what makes European figures think that it's a larger conspiracy was they're asking the question, how did he get his money to travel? Who was behind him? Imagine ABC News having an American, Pierre Salinger, who was press secretary to John Kennedy, asking questions of who shot John Paul II when the press secretary of the dead president wouldn't ask them, and we pleaded with him to ask those questions in 1963 and 64. It takes Pierre Salinger, living in Europe on American broadcasting, to ask questions that should be all over the world every time these people are shooting and poking holes into political leaders, religious leaders, civil rights people, as I say, judges, lawyers, writers, actors, literally thousands of people that have been felled by the bullet. But we discussed the most prominent most of the time. He was asking questions about the Browning automatic. At first, they thought it came from Bulgaria. Again, they tried to make a Marxist Russian story. The gun came from behind the Soviet Union bloc, the Iron Curtain, Bulgarian, and he's a Marxist with Habash and Haddad. That's BS. They finally admitted the gun came from Belgium. Not that it matters much, but it matters a lot that they couldn't wash off a Russian terrorist Marxist poking holes into Pope John Paul II. The Russians must be sitting back absolutely laughing in delight. They have revealed stories about our assassinations. When Ronald Reagan was inaugurated for president, his first speech was about the Russian terrorists. The things they do, they're spreading assassination teams and terror all over the world. And the answer from the head of the Soviet Union, and I had on KLRB, was, you better clean up your act. You killed John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and many, many others, and Torres down in Bolivia, and Lumumba, and Patrice Lumumba, and Che Guevara. And the Soviet Union rattled off a list of who's who, of who've been murdered by this network with, again, Washington, Houston, Texas, Germany, Chilean network that is not hard to trace And it isn't a coincidence in Spain that this Aja came from that exact ball of wax and has lived with these people after murdering a liberal newspaper man in Turkey. Would they deport him to be put to the firing squad for killing a liberal alternative press newsman in Turkey? No, they fund him and jump up and down with joy. He proved that he could do the job, and that's why he was out of jail. That's why he could travel all over the world, because he shot a liberal newspaper man. You get brownie points for that. You don't go back to jail. So here was Salinger asking questions over our ABC that we can't ask. Maybe Brussels can't ask him on ABC, and neither will Salinger on a program ask about our assassinations. But he's asking, was he alone? Was he a part of an international conspiracy? As an agent, how did he travel through Hungary, Bulgaria, Yugoslavia, Italy, Spain, Germany? And he had this Belgian weapon. It wasn't a Russian weapon, and he's not a Marxist. And he told the people when he was arrested, I had no financial problems. You bet your bottom dollar he had no financial problems, and they were warning today that he may possibly escape. I wouldn't be surprised with the great leniency the Pope has put on him and the way that Reagan has done to his assailant. Hell, they're glad to be alive, and they may let these guys escape. He may, in fact, escape, but he said, I had no problems. And when he was arrested, he had a lot of Swiss and Italian banknotes, and he also had a two-week vacation in Spain. It cost about $500 to travel in Spain. They admitted that he committed no robberies and no burglaries. Now, that's a first in terms of assassination stories and ABC News with Pierre Salinger. We always say that James Earl Ray robbed banks, or they came through this money through some subterfuge. They're being so upfront part of the way, and I think that's interesting. Now, because time is running out, I'm briefly going to go into just a few of the possible motives, and next week continue this and rule them out for you and explain what I think that some of these motives are or are not. One, was it a Christian Muslim motive? No, I don't believe it was, and I'll tell you why next week. I don't, even though the Muslims are fighting the Christians in Lebanon, I don't believe that at all. I don't think that this handful of Muslims, as I say, is going to wipe out the Vatican Empire, and they work very well with them. And there's no possible reason for doing that at this time. Was it a far-right group that wanted to kill John Paul II? And I'll go into those tentacles. There's, as I say, the far-right, such as the Spanish military junta, the Turkish group, and some of the Americans, and so forth. Was it a religious group? There's the Carl McIntyre gang, the born-again Christians, the Southwest, Southern Tennessee, Texas, Dallas, Texas, the Hinckley gang are violently anti-Catholic, but I don't think they took these shots because they'd still end up with the Vatican anyway. And was it the narcotic intertangling web of the narcotic group? And as I weave these possible motives into it, I think it goes more into the far right-wing narcotic traffic market of the group that are trying to control Turkey and the Middle East and the profits of the opium, as against the heavy involvement of Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan and Watergate people who are still in power, tangling the Vatican money to the point it even linked directly to that Nugenhen Bank in Australia I've been talking about, to the CIA in Southeast Asia, to Heron opium. There are too many stories breaking, and I'll go into the motives with you next week on the far-right motives, the anti-Catholic motives, and the narcotics, because I think that most possibly the reason for this assailant being used at this time has more with the economic narcotic traffic of that Golden Horn of the Middle East versus the Southeast Asian, South American gang that tried to monopolize the world narcotics for so long through Sicily, drying up the Corsicans in Marseille. Those are a lot of names and words to throw at you, but I know you want some explanation of motives, so you'll have to follow it for the weeks to come. We don't have any more time, and we'll get back to who shot the Pope, John Paul II, next week on KLRB. In the meantime, this is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel. This program originates from Carmel, California.
KLRB, Carmel by the Sea. Here's Bob Marley.